You're tuned into www.freakradio.org, Freak Radio Santa Cruz, streaming live on the World Wide Web. My name's the V-Man, and you're tuned to the Indie Newswire program on Free Radio Santa Cruz, which happens 1 to 3 p.m. every Monday afternoon, and keeping in true form to the Indie Newswire program, I am very late today. My name's the V-Man, and I've been a free radio host and collective member for about a decade. I used to host a program called Rockin' the Boat, which was on 3 to 5 on Fridays, and I recently stopped producing that show weekly, and it is now on hiatus. And I am happy to announce that I will still continue to be hosting radio programs on the station, just not my own show. But I have been asked to join the Indie Newswire show as a co-host and occasional guest host, as I am today. And I have happily accepted the offer. So myself and DJ Bradley, as well as others within the Santa Cruz Indie Media grouping, occasionally come in and host the program. And so I'll be doing that today, February 27th, 2006, and for about the next hour, we'll be hearing some recent reports on spying happening, not only in Santa Cruz, but also nationally and internationally, as the NSA spying program has come to light in recent months. There's been some protests. We'll hear a short report on that. And we'll also hear the most recent news from the Santa Cruz Police Department Internal Affairs Investigation on spying against the Last Night DIY Parade Organization Group, and where that situation is currently. We'll be talking about that. And also, we'll be hearing some recordings made by DJ Bradley recently of Ryan Harvey, who performed live in Santa Cruz a few weeks ago at a showing of El Enemigo Común, a video from the Resistance, produced by Simone Cedillo of the Austin Independent Media Center. And Ryan Harvey was opened up that show, so we'll be hearing some of his music. In fact, we're going to start off this portion of the Indie Newswire program with a song from Ryan Harvey. This one's called Remember Me. Freak Radio, www.freakradio.org, the Indie Newswire show.
Aún si el concepto es muy ambiguo, pero la fuerza que viene del pueblo y de los.
All right. Okay. Anybody struggling with being a burned out activist? On the verge. I saw the same hands. We got. Can't be both. You cross the line or you haven't. This is a song about that. I should have had my hand up in the second group, I guess. This is a song about finding that drive that originally pushed you into working for positive change and not accepting things as they are. And for me, my immediate one I look back on is what they call youth rebellion or teenage rebellion. That's what it's called, which is like this absurd thing that comes over teenagers where they actually want to control their lives. And so people call it teenage rebellion, like it's a phase, you know. Anyways, teenage rebellion for me occurred, and then I started going, oh, wait, so the cops don't like me, and my principal doesn't like me, and my job sucks. I think I see a pattern here. And so it pushed me into being an activist, anti-capitalist. And yet we have to nurture that. It's about that. It's a rewritten Phil Oaks song. Sing along. Only the burned out activists can sing along. And those on the bird. I'm just kidding. But in reality, no one's gonna sing along, because no one ever sings along. Oh, it seems like I am gone because you're feeling down and out. Can't seem to put your finger on the source of all your doubt. I've watched you through these years, helped you up each time you fell. Will you show me that I'm still alive and well? Remember me when you lose your inspiration.
try to break your spirit, but they only got your shell. Will you show me that I'm still alive and well? Remember me when you lose your inspiration. Remember me when you're scared to look around. Remember me when you need to find a reason. Remember me and please don't let me down. Oh, I strengthened you to stand strong when it came time to rise. I taught you how to speak when it came time to organize. I strengthened you for battle when it came time to rebel. Will you show me that I'm still alive and well? Remember me when you lose your inspiration. Remember me when you're scared to look around. Remember me when you need to find a reason. Remember me and please don't let me down. Now when everyone's together, I'm still lingering inside, waiting to break free and take your body for a ride. I'm a power, hope, and knowledge that no one can buy or sell. Will you show me that I'm still alive and well? Remember me when you lose your inspiration. Remember me when you're scared to look around. Remember me when you need to find a reason. Remember. I'm a confidence and love of self that only you can find. Between success and failure, I'm the difference you can tell. Will you show me that I'm still alive and well? Remember me when you lose your inspiration. Remember me when you're scared to look around. Remember me when you need to find a reason. Remember me.
Ryan Harvey here on the Indie Newswire program, Freak Radio Santa Cruz, www.freakradio.org. Want to let our listeners on the internet know, maybe we've picked up a number of local Santa Cruz area residents tuning in on the World Wide Web to our stream to keep up with our live schedule, where you can still hear live programming at www.freakradio.org. And there is... excuse me, cough button. There is indeed a number of hardworking individuals keeping programming on the airwaves at 101.1 FM, although it's not by our schedule. We're kind of in crisis mode, sort of, or not necessarily crisis mode, but just sort of, it's sort of snafu. We're having a situation normal all fucked up. Due to some technical problems that we've been experiencing for the last few days. And hopefully, in the near future, those problems will be ironed out. And we will hopefully have some remedies for this kind of thing in the future to prevent it from happening. Nonetheless, you will probably be hearing, if you're tuned into 101.1 and trying to listen to both the internet stream and 101.1, you'll hear an archive edition of the Indie Newswire show right now. But and there are folks trying to keep some of our regularly scheduled shows on the airwaves, but that's a task, a very big task. So anyway, this brings me to my plug for financial support for Free Radio Santa Cruz. As many listeners know, programmers here pay dues every month, and in fact, those dues have just been increased. So it is imperative that our listeners and supporters financially contribute to the benefit of the station. So if you have some extra money lying around, this will be the extent of my pledge drive today, but please make a donation. Go to our website, www.freakradio.org. That's FreakRadio.org. And you can use your credit card for a PayPal transaction that will support the station. You can also buy t-shirts there. Although I don't know if the t-shirt designs are up currently. But anyway, you can inquire about it. And or make a check payable to FRSC. That's Free Radio Santa Cruz, or simply FRSC, send them to P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. In order to keep our dues down and hopefully keep the station afloat, we need your financial support for crisis times like this and just for general maintenance and general month-to-month bills that we have. So that's the extent of it. Thanks for tuning in today to the Indie Newswire show. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll be hearing some stuff on the NSA spying and some protests that were organized by Move On, as well as a little bit of a report on the recent hearing of the Public Safety Committee of the Santa Cruz City Council on the Santa Cruz PD spying. I'll probably be doing a little bit of commentary as well and playing you a couple more Ryan Harvey songs. We just heard Ryan Harvey recorded on the 16th of February by Bradley, the other host of the show, where Ryan performed at a fundraiser. Or I guess I don't even know if that was a fundraiser, but a screening of the film El Enemigo Común. And Ryan is a member of Riot Folk, and they're a radical folk musician collective, and they tour intermittently together and as individuals around the country performing radical folk music. And we just heard a track called Remember Me, and we're going to hear a track now called COINTELPRO. This was also recorded on February 16th at the Resource Center for Nonviolence.
I just wrote this a few days ago, and it's inspired by some people I know who are under surveillance right now, federal surveillance. But it's obviously about much bigger than that. So. Your beliefs, what group you in? Are you an anarchist? How long you been? Where's your meeting? What time is that? What day's the rally? Where's it at? How big's your group? Who's part of it? What's your stance on violence? COINTELPRO. COINTELPRO. They've been watching from the street out front where the unmarked cars park. They've been calling on the phone at night. They've been snooping around the yard. They've been talking to your parents at work, making sure they're overheard. They've been talking to your neighborhood, making sure they hear the word COINTELPRO. COINTELPRO. They've been knocking on the door in the morning when the sun ain't even rose. They've been watching where you go every day. They've been following you close. They've been listening on the line. They'll remember what you've said. They've been looking on your website, showing up at your events. COINTELPRO. COINTELPRO. They've been taking notes on your conversations, remembering names and dates. They've been watching who you talk to, with whom you associate. With their ears open to all you do. They're on your email list. They're collecting all your posters. Taking your fingerprints, COINTELPRO. COINTELPRO. What's your name? Where you live? Where you from? Who's your friends? What's your beliefs? What group you in? You an anarchist? How long you been? Where's your meeting? What time is that? What day's the rally? Where's it at? How big's your group? Who's part of it? What's your stance on violence? COINTELPRO. Started coming around. It's like if you turn your back for a second, you think they're gonna come and take you down. Well, it's no coincidence that you feel like this. It's what they plan for you. They're FBI agents. This is what they're paid to do. COINTELPRO. COINTELPRO. This ain't the 1960s. This is 2006. The feds are back with the same old badge and a brand bag of tricks. They got a long bloody history of ruining people's lives. You gotta stand strong, hold your ground, and always organize. COINTELPRO.
guns, jails, and a budget. They'll string you out on fear. But you've got the strength of numbers. That's why they're here. That's the way it's gone before. When their threats start coming through, you gotta remember that means that you're being successful and they're scared of you.
Ryan Harvey, COINTELPRO, here on Indie Newswire. That was recorded at the Resource Center for Nonviolence on February 16, 2006. A brand new song by Ryan Harvey. Check out riotfolk.org for more of his music, and we'll be hearing some more later in the show. But coming off the heels of that, we're going to move into a little bit of discussion about what's been happening in Santa Cruz with the police, local police, spying on last night. This is an ongoing story. I've covered it on my other show, Rockin' the Boat, and in other forums and venues. Been talking about it, as have others. And the recent news, a couple weeks ago, the police released a 600-page report detailing their internal investigation of the surveillance they conducted on DIY New Year's parade meetings. City officials here who initially praised the report as thorough and complete are now backpedaling and have authorized an independent investigation, which is now underway and should be complete within 2 weeks' time. So anyway, here's the latest story from 2 weeks ago that I produced for Free Speech Radio News about the situation, and I'll talk a little more when I come back.
Grant Wilson of Santa Cruz Art and Revolution says the police investigation was a complete waste of time and resources.
It's amazing what the police can come up with in terms of material, but really in terms of substance and action, there's really nothing there.
The internal investigation was led by Deputy Chief Kevin Vogel, the same man who authorized undercover agents to infiltrate parade planning meetings. The officers involved were cleared of any wrongdoing. Vogel's report says police did nothing wrong because it claimed the New Year's parade jeopardized public safety. The document also says no guidelines were in place governing police use of surveillance. But Bob Aronson, the independent police auditor under contract with the city of Santa Cruz, rejected Vogel's report as incomplete and flawed, saying there was a conflict of interest.
It was inappropriate for Deputy Chief Vogel to conduct the investigation into his own decision to use undercover officers.
Aronson was tapped by City Manager Dick Wilson to conduct a supplemental investigation that will determine how and why police decided to use undercover officers to get the information they wanted.
My issue is that at first glance, without any other effort, a decision was made to try to put undercover officers into the organizing meetings.
Johnny Hurst, who lives in the home where meetings took place, was named by police as a lead organizer, but had little involvement with the New Year's parade.
Observation doesn't actually scare me all that much, but their kind of involvement did.
The undercover officers used fake names and contact info, helped with parade logistics, and consumed alcohol at planning meetings. The internal audit reveals a pattern of abuses by police, says Rico Thunder, a parade planner who was a major focus of police surveillance.
The Santa Cruz PD used their presence at the planning meetings to gather information about community groups and First Amendment activities taking place. They used this information to monitor events and tip off other outside agencies, as well as introduce them into the police records database.
This is the war on dissidents and the war on the Constitution come home to Santa Cruz.
Local peace activist Sherry Connable marched in the New Year's parade, but had no involvement with its planning.
It is not up to the police chief to fix this. It is not up to the city manager to fix this. It's up to us to fix it, and the only way we can fix it is if our elected representatives speak on our behalf.
Activists want a stringent policy that safeguards the First Amendment rights of citizens engaged in political work. The city's Public Safety Committee, tasked with overseeing police policies, agreed to wait another month for Aronson's report before making policy recommendations. In Santa Cruz, California, I'm Vinnie Lombardo for Free Speech Radio News.
And I also go by V-Man from time to time. You're tuned to the Indie Newswire program, www.freakradio.org. Check out the website indiebay.org/Santa Cruz for updates as this story unfolds, first of which is actually tomorrow, the 27th. No, today's the 27th, March 1st, Tuesday, March 1st, 2006, at Santa Cruz City Council. Folks will be gathering again to speak out at the oral communications portion of the meeting, which I believe starts at 7 p.m. That's at 809 Center Street in downtown Santa Cruz, to keep the pressure on the council on this issue as the independent investigation is being conducted, largely interviews and follow-ups with Deputy Chief Kevin Vogel, whose initial internal affairs report was rejected because he was the man who authorized the initial spying. So folks will be gathering tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, at City Council Chambers, 809 Center Street in downtown Santa Cruz, across the street from the library or the Civic, depending on which street you're on. And, so be there, hear them speak out. And then in about 2 weeks' time, the Public Safety Committee will get the results of Bob Aronson's investigation. So this is a story we'll be sticking with and hearing more about as it unfolds. Keep it tuned right here to Freak Radio Santa Cruz. And when the live programming is restored, keep it tuned to 101.1 FM. Here's Anti-Flag, a classic Freak Radio hit. I'm being watched by the CIA.
Love it once, love it once, love it once, but I see.
Freak Radio, Santa Cruz, www.freakradio.org. I so much want to say 101.1 FM, but I'm not live on the air. You know, I think this is the first time I've ever done an internet-only radio show, possibly. Well, I don't know. Maybe it won't be internet-only after all. Anyway, you're tuned to Indie Newswire from 1 to 3 p.m. on Monday afternoons here at Freak Radio Santa Cruz. Check out indiebay.org/Santa Cruz for the Santa Cruz Independent Media Center website, recently overhauled and integrated into the indiebay.org website and collective, and sort of, but Santa Cruz is still its own independent organization. But nonetheless, the technology makes it a much more user-friendly website, and I highly, highly recommend checking it out. Lots of great stuff I'll probably be getting into as the show comes to a close. But right now, I'll tell you what you just heard was Fugazi, another Freak Radio classic with Public Witness Program. And that's from 1993's In on the Killtaker CD on Discord. We also heard Anti-Flag from their 1997 self-titled album, I think. Oh, no, it's actually from Die for the Government, the CD Die for the Government. That was a track called I'm Being Watched by the CIA. And right now we're going to hear a short report I produced from the recent MoveOn.org vigil that took place at the Town Clock. On February 22nd, MoveOn.org, the National Political Action Committee, organized its members in nearly 300 U.S. cities coast to coast to protest what they say is illegal wiretapping by the National Security Agency and to call for an immediate independent investigation of the spying program. Here in Santa Cruz, about 100 people met at the Town Clock. And here is that story.
After sitting on the story for more than a year, the New York Times reported in mid-December 2005 that shortly after 9/11, President Bush authorized the National Security Agency to monitor some U.S. citizens' phone and internet communications without a court order. Since then, the program's legality has been debated. On February 22nd, MoveOn.org, a national political action committee, organized its members in nearly 300 U.S. cities, coast to coast, to protest what they say is illegal wiretapping and to call for an immediate independent investigation of the NSA spy program. In Santa Cruz, about 100 people met at the Town Clock, and the Bill of Rights was read aloud.
The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against their unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue.
Critics of the program argue Bush violated the law when he okayed electronic surveillance without first obtaining warrants from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act Court, also known as FISA. Additionally, they say the NSA spying violates the Privacy Act of 1974 and the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which guards against unreasonable search and seizure. Deirdre Desjardins, a regional coordinator with MoveOn.org, helped organize the protest.
The FISA court was made during Watergate, and it was set up so that there's this special court that oversees that kind of surveillance, and all he had to do was take it before the court. And I think the reason he didn't is because it's far more broad-based than he's admitting, and that it would not stand up before the court.
Supporters say Congress implicitly authorized Bush to spy on American citizens when it passed the authorization for the use of military force shortly after 9/11. But according to attorney Paul Sanford, a constitutional law professor, there is no language in the bill allowing the president to circumvent the FISA courts.
There have been many reports from representatives on both sides of the aisle, Democrat and Republican, who in no way believed that their legislation had anything to do with changing domestic surveillance law and changing the FISA court or amending the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. What most people are saying on Capitol Hill is you have to look at the plain language of the statute. The plain language of the statute does not say, and you may do this. It's one of those things, that, and, you know, he's sort of saying it's grandfathered in, it's implied.
Officials in the Bush administration also say the president doesn't need congressional authority because he has inherent powers under the Constitution to take any action necessary to protect the American people, including wiretapping. But attorney Paul Sanford disputes the claim.
It's pretty clear that Congress is supposed to have a big role in this, and it's pretty clear that the Constitution and the judiciary is supposed to have a key role in overseeing who gets spied on and whose houses and whose communications are getting searched, whose privacy is violated. You have to have probable cause for that, and that is clear rule in the book by the Constitution.
Sharon Lee Graham, a local mom, is concerned that officials in the Bush administration have given themselves too much power.
From the very beginning of this administration, have they undone the lawful checks and balances? From the very beginning, have they been stonewalling and keeping things from the public? So this isn't an accidental type of thing. This is a systemic way of being that they want to have happen.
Graham says we live in historical times and that everyone needs to stand up and speak out.
They count on the complacency of the American people, because we are used to just going about our ways and having what we need and want taken care of. But if we don't step out at this time, they're pulling the rug beneath us and things will change to a point that we will never, ever be able to get back what it is that we lost.
The ACLU is also concerned about warrantless surveillance and in January filed a legal challenge to the eavesdropping program. Meanwhile, the Justice Department announced that it will be opening an internal review, and the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence has put off until March 7th a vote to open an independent inquiry into the NSA spying matter. In Santa Cruz, California, I'm Vinnie Lombardo, reporter at large.
A.K.A. V-Man, sitting in here on the Indie Newswire program. It's a little after 2:30, and got about 28 minutes or so left in the show. Questions come up here in that report. Yes, it's a big thing. There's a lot of surveillance happening, but some say, what's the big deal? It's been going on for decades now, four at least, that we know of openly, and even arguing, as you know, all through history there has been intelligence-style activities taking place amongst empires and ruling parties watching the citizenry. So it's nothing new. What's the big deal? I view it as an issue that activists really need to be concerned about. Not only activists, but citizens. I mean, candlelight vigil, okay? Not the most effective means of getting one's point across, but at least people are stepping out. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a supporter or a member of MoveOn.org. And I generally think that they could definitely be doing more. I'm happy to see 100 people at the clock tower, even if it is a candlelight vigil and fairly, you know, unnoticed, thing that happened at, you know, rush hour. You know, just another vigil at the clock tower. So I see that argument, you know, and I feel that, but I also feel empowered that, you know, regular folks that I never see at demonstrations are now starting to question what's going on. I mean, here we are, look around. I mean, we've got NSA spying going on, citizens being wiretapped domestically and internationally, their emails being poured over by, you know, spies within this super secret agency. Then you have the Pentagon's 902nd Military Intelligence Unit spying on student protesters at a job fair in Santa Cruz, California, and in other cities across the country. They've had their military intelligence personnel out at all the rallies, all the demonstrations, in the meetings. And is it anything new, right? And then you have, of course, right here locally, we just heard on the show a little earlier about Santa Cruz and last night, a benign citizens protest. Not benign in the sense that it was a wonderfully empowering event that took place, and citizens sort of spontaneously came out to celebrate the new year and to have community with each other and share a time together. And the police, the powers that be, the military, the Pentagon, the NSA, the president, all the way up, it's like they view that as a threat, simply. People getting together in small groups, similarly like Free Radio Santa Cruz, as we were descended upon a year and a half ago by federal stormtroopers from the U.S. Marshal's Office and the FCC combining up to thieve our equipment away. You know, groups like the Resource Center for Nonviolence, who just celebrated their 30-year anniversary last night, as it were, are routinely, you know, also spied upon and disrupted in some ways. And so people need to be aware of this. This is, I guess, to me, it's a hot-button issue. And privacy matters for many people are a hot-button issue. People don't like their names being used, for example, in certain events. Or people go to demonstrations with masks on to hide their identity from cameras. There's a great video, actually, right now that people should check out at portland.indymedia.org detailing when President Bush visited the city of Portland in 2002, August 2002, and there was a large demonstration of outraged citizens upset at his policies of war, and this was at a time when the U.S. was gearing up to march into Baghdad, and the pressure was high at that time on Bush. And the police met the demonstrators with extreme force. Folks may remember an incident hearing about it because there was a 3-year-old child that was pepper sprayed by police at the rally and I think nearly stampeded. So it gained some national spotlight for a bit there back then. So maybe folks remember that story. But anyway, there's a video and it's a really eye-opening expose of how the police document protest activities and specifically target people that they view as leaders. And I don't remember the name of the video, but it's really great. It's on portlandindymedia.org right now. But anyway, so this thing's going all around. And it, you know, I watched this video today, and it clearly showed how the police manipulated the press, manipulated the event with the use of their own video recording equipment. They had officers there, squads even, I guess, 2 or 3 guys, you know, a video unit to go out and target people and film them up close, their shoes. They would zoom in on their, like, any tattoos or markings or earrings or things like that. And somehow these young video activists got a hold of the police footage and they used it without permission and made this really cool video. And I highly recommend checking it out. So anyway, that's my endorsement for internet viewing today on Indy Media, on the Indy News Wire show, Freak Radio, Santa Cruz. So anyway, point is that, I guess just to wrap up my thoughts, is that people just need to know these things are going on and take the necessary precautions to protect themselves, their friends, and organizations that they are involved in. That's my thought. Here's Bauhaus with a track called Spy in the Cab. I'll be back shortly.
Autonomy playing on his mind.
In the cab, Bauhaus, Freak Radio, Indie Newswire show. And up next, we're going to go back to February 16th to the Vet Resource Center for Nonviolence, where the film El Enemigo Común was screened, and the filmmaker Simón Cedillo was also present. I believe this is him talking that night, recorded by Bradley, host of this show.
Hello, my name is Simón Cedillo. I'm from Austin, Texas, and I work with the Austin Independent Media Center, the Rhizome Collective, and the Youth Liberation Network. This film is a project of the Austin Independent Media Center. We've been working on it for about 4.5 years, and it's a great pleasure, privilege, and honor to be here with y'all today. I wanted to thank Braulio in particular for doing all the hard work of making this happen, and the center, thank you so much. I just wanted to hit up a couple of key points that the film touches on that maybe oftentimes in our communities we don't discuss. I'm assuming that everybody here is kind of familiar with what neoliberalism is, right? Don't really need to go into a workshop about that, right? But I wanted to extend the definition of neoliberalism for you a little bit today. We all know that neoliberalism is the imposition of international financial institutions, the G8, the eight most powerful countries in the world, transnational corporations, and a very unfortunate narcotics political business mafia that exists throughout the Global South that is profiting from all of this. What I'd like to think about, though, is the fact that this is an imposition, much like an occupation is. Neoliberalism is imposed. None of us in this country or any of the people in any of the countries where free trade agreements are being imposed had a vote or a say in whether or not these free trade agreements were being imposed on their countries. It's decided by the executive branch, by business people, and these international financial institutions. So from that, I'd like to give the notion that neoliberalism is a tenet of occupation, or maybe occupation is a tenet of neoliberalism, right? When we hear the word occupation, military occupation, we think about Iraq, we think about Afghanistan. Some of you might even think about Colombia. But I'd like to extend the notion of occupation from not being just military, the most blatant form of occupation, but also being political, economic, social, cultural, spiritual, psychological, right? All these forms of occupation are one and the same. And they're being imposed throughout the global south, in particular in this hemisphere and in Africa, through the tenets of neoliberalism. Like I said, military occupation is the most blatant, the most violent form of this occupation. And there's other forms of occupation that go on a sliding scale down to some of the stuff that we see in Oaxaca, which is just as disgraceful. There's like three stages, right? You have militarism, where you have soldiers running around the street, right? Then you have militarized police, which maybe some of you got a good glimpse at in Miami in 2003, or you might have gotten a good glimpse at here in your own streets in Santa Cruz, where police are looking a lot more like soldiers. This is unconstitutional in this country and is unconstitutional throughout the global south. The militarization of the police is not supposed to be happening. The police are not supposed to be military. They're not supposed to be policing their own people like soldiers. But we're seeing this more and more. We've seen it in the global south for quite some time, and we're seeing it more and more here in the United States. The next stage of militarism is paramilitarism, which I'm sure you all have heard before. And paramilitarism is the militarization of civilians, which we're seeing more and more of in Mexico and throughout the global south. Of course, when I say the words paramilitaries in this crowd, most of you think about the massacre of Acteal, the Zapatista community in 1998, and most of you are unaware of the fact that there's massacres and attacks throughout Mexico, in Oaxaca, in Guerrero, in Veracruz, in Michoacán, as well as in Chiapas. And that's kind of what a little bit of this film is about, just kind of to broaden our horizons about what is going on and how people are resisting it. And that brings me to the happier note of this. The Austin Independent Media Center, through the course of the last 4.5 years working on this film, has contributed to the liberation of 21 political prisoners in Oaxaca, and we've helped spearhead 3 Amnesty International cases, which is a great success for a crew that is as broke as a joke as we are, and putting it together with like as little technology as humanly possible, and just kind of proving that that can be done, right? Another more important success is the success of the Compas, of the people in Oaxaca. And more than just the people of Oaxaca, I want to broaden it to the people of Mesoamerica, right? All of Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, right? Heading on down south. All these people, all these tribes, this is a pueblo. This is their land. This was their land before we knew it as these nations, right? And they have one very important thing in common, which is their methods of organization, their methods of struggle, their methods of survival, right? And these methods of organization pre-exist communism and pre-exist anarchy, even pre-exist the conquest of this land, because these methods of organization are a worldview. And they're founded in the notion that we should organize our societies horizontally, right? So these horizontal communities are diametrically opposed to the vertical power structures of capital, of empire, and its most current incarnation, neoliberalism. So we'll see a little bit about that. And I'll be here for questions and answers. Thank you all so much.
All right. Indie Newswire program on Free Radio Santa Cruz, www.freakradio.org, and soon to be restored at 101.1 FM with our live programming in the near future. Yes, that was Simon Cedillo discussing a little bit about his film and a little bit about his thoughts on neoliberalism and community organizing. I got about 10 minutes left in the show, and I'm going to sign off right now. Thank you for listening to this abridged edition of the Indie Newswire show for today, February 27th, 2006. My name's the V-Man. New occasional guest host and co-host of this program, Indie Newswire, from 1 to 3 every Fridays. Every Monday afternoon, 1 to 3 p.m. So, thanks for listening. We're going to go out with some more Ryan Harvey, who performed at the video screening. This is a song called Plan Puebla Panama.
You'll hear about this in the movie a little bit. The movie that we're about to see is what folks in the video describe as being the first step of the Plan Puebla Panama. First real attack on people and make this thing happen. It's a little song about that. It's also Woody Guthrie rewrite. Just like the next.
Well, the world has seven nations, or maybe you've been told, that have most of the money and therefore run the globe. The richest of them all is almost anything it wants. One of its currents can't call Plan Pueblo Panama. Well, the rulers took a notion in the year of 44 from their history, combining corporate dominance and war. They formed the World Bank and they formed the IMF. This new colonialism would be called development. Well, the World Bank had a child and they named it IDB, and it ran loose through the hemisphere creating poverty. It funded much destruction, forced the people into debt. Now Plan Pueblo Panama shows that they aren't done quite yet. It starts in Pueblo, Mexico, and travels south from there, building highways and railroads and sweatshops everywhere. Upward soon through Michigan and into Canada, it's the trade route for the gringos, Plan Pueblo Panama. They're cutting down the forest, dumping poison in the sea. They're damming up the rivers, making all the people flee. They're blowing up the mountains, digging craters bound for gold, talking about democracy while slaves are being sold. Now from Juarez down to Alta, you can hear the rattling chains, making t-shirts, toys, and sneakers for export to the States. The farmers can grow coffee, cotton, flowers, and cocaine, protected by the death squads trained at the SOA. In the foggy mountain paradise or on the sunny beach, cheap labor and free markets are always within reach. Like a giant arm outstretching, keeping everybody down. It's called Plan Pueblo Panama, and it's happening right now. Well, the world has seven nations, or maybe you've been told, that have most of the money and therefore run the globe. Their prosperity was gained through trickery and blood, like their latest scam for profits, Plan Pueblo Panama.
A default anti-war song, yeah? We all have them.
The war is over. That's what they say. And they're making sure the media presents it all that way. You see, they've learned from the war in Vietnam that you don't ever let the people see what's really going on, since they made blunders. They call it a mistake, as if they'd thrown a bottle down and didn't think that it would break. They didn't fail. There was no contest. They planned to colonize and conquer, and they made complete success. So while the victims' families search for answers in the dust, there's recruiters in the high schools building up trust. It's the story that you've heard so many times. Children marching off the battle for collective suicide, fooled by glory, embracing patriotic myth. Now there's 2,000 dead troops who started out like this. And what for? To be buried by your friends, politicians who use any means to achieve their ends. That's their job. But if you backtrack just a few years back, you'll see they planned to take Iraq before the terrorist attack, and they were jumping on 9-1-1. What a perfect chance to implement the plan that they had drawn. Plain face, they swiftly led us into war. They used the victims' names to justify 100,000 more. It's economic. It's a long-term scheme. They've learned from years and years of practice how to get away clean, and there they go. And the weapons weren't found. It's no surprise to me now the Iraqis have no water, but at least their market's free. And look, they voted. Such a stepping stone. All the profit politicians are delighted here at home. It was a scam. Another Trojan horse, an election organized by the occupying force. How's that progress? They voted for their change. Just look at Afghanistan. They did to them the same. And the soldiers coming home, they're trying to look ahead. Having been to war and back, they've seen the faces of the dead. They can't erase them. Too deep.
those with PTSD, here are the heroes. No longer standing proud, awaiting refuge from the shelters, asking pennies from the crowd, they trusted politics. Now they're seeing what's in store, once the victors, now the victims in the same exact war, just like before. What happened? Well, it's not that hard to see. It's a broken record war, repeating history, the same thing as in 1991, as in 1917. No war is ever won, we keep forgetting these things you'd think we would have learned. So the stories keep repeating, and the tables never turn. We sit by watching while the tragedies unfold. And that's the problem, we're afraid to take control, but we could.
You are the media, indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. The Santa Cruz Independent Media Center is a place where every reader is also a reporter. Instead of relying on the corporate media to cover events and actions in our community, challenge yourself and make media on your own or with your friends. Go to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz and just click publish to add your article, photos, audio, or video. Santa Cruz indie media contributors cover local and global news, issues such as police, labor struggles, education, environment, poverty, immigration, LGBTI, queer, and women's communities, and much more. In an age where information and news are so tightly managed and controlled by the corporate media, industry, and government, a free, independent, and alternative press is essential for any hope of creating a just world. Another world is possible, and participation is mandatory. IndieBay.org/Santa Cruz.